Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax. And today, the title of my message is How to Survive the New Normal. Today is Thursday, February 16th, 2017. As y'all may or may not know, the Lord recently moved me from Texas to northern Arkansas, far northern Arkansas. I'm almost in Missouri. I'm so far north. It was a battle from the time he told me I was moving, and I'm still battling some things. I mean, I've never ever encountered such intense attack from the enemy. And I've gone through some pretty intense attacks, y'all, but this is the longest, most intense battle I've fought yet. It's been pretty mind-boggling. And I found out through talking to others that some others in the body of Christ, like my friend Nicole, are also under very intense attack. So I want to talk about that. The constant battles are very difficult to bear up under. They make you very weary. And after a while, you become weakened because it takes so much out of you to constantly fight while trying to do everything you have to do in your everyday life. Does that make sense? It's kind of like trying to fight off pneumonia while keeping your house clean every day, something like that. Another type of attack that I'm hearing is happening, I'm hearing about financial attacks, but I'm hearing about a lot of attacks of things breaking down or things not working or delays in things working. And I also experienced all of those in this time period. And some of them are still ongoing. The entire moving experience was trying and terrifying from the start. And I'll tell you something, if you want to know who the people around you really are, just tell them you're moving. I learned for a fact in this move that that is true. People will tell you who they are in the time period right before you move more than any other time. And I told people that I considered very close friends. And I found out who was just out for what they could get from me. And I found out that some of the people who lived around me in Princeton were just outright thieves. My yard tools were stolen right out of my backyard when I was away from my house. And I found out someone who claimed to be a friend who I thought was a really close friend really just wanted to make money off of me when I needed help. People will show you who they really are when they know they're never going to see you again. But I found one person who really cared, who cared much more than I thought, who was willing to exert much effort and sacrifice on my behalf for my good, not for their own good, but actually for mine. Just one person in all of that. But that one person is worth more to me than all the others put together. The truth really comes out when you're moving. Y'all keep that in mind because I know God's moving a bunch of y'all. And I'm seeing that the Lord is moving people in phases. I'm seeing phases in the spirit right now that the Lord is moving the first phase right now. He's moved some people years ago. I have one friend in the area I moved to, one person that I've known for years that was moved here about 8 years ago. That's a very good friend. I don't see him or talk to him every day, but just, you know, a good person, a person who's very strong in the Christian walk that God moved here years ago. There are other people also have been moved to this area. So, but there are many areas that God's moving people to. Okay. Yeah, people will tell you who they really are if you listen to them, but especially when you're leaving and they know they won't see you again. So watch and learn from that. So this month plus long battle has been very, very difficult and very exhausting, and it's not over yet. I talked to Nicole one day not long ago, and we both agreed that what we really wanted was just to sit down and rest. But we know we can't stop. We have to keep going, and we have to keep fighting the enemy. I saw a video online called, from the Weather Channel, called Bad Hair Day, hair spelled H-A-R-E as in a rabbit, where a hawk was trying to grab a hare, and this hare had real long ears It reminded me of the jackrabbits in Texas. And every time the hawk would swoop down to grab the hare would jump up and he'd put his dukes up and swing at the hawk like a kangaroo. You know, a kangaroo puts his dukes up. And he did it over and over. And it was really cute. It wasn't fun for the hare, I'm sure. And I thought, you know, we have to be like that. Every time the devil takes a shot at us, we have to jump up and swing back at him, no matter how many times he does it. That hawk meant to have that hare for lunch, but the hare had a different outcome in mind. And you know what? The hare won. At the end of the video, he was still going strong. As much as I hope and pray that things will get back on a normal keel again in my life, I'm not at all sure that they will. Based on what the Lord has spoken to me, this could become our new normal. With war and persecution coming, how can it not become our new normal? And so my question is, how do you keep going when really you just want to sit down and cry? I have felt that way so many days since this whole move started because I felt so overwhelmed by it all, by all the problems and all the obstacles that the enemy sent into my path. I have never seen anything like this, y'all. The latest thing that he's done is something has gone terribly wrong with my forwarding order in Princeton. And what this has resulted in is many of you who mailed in physical donations, and many of you mailed in physical donations wanting to receive a word from the Lord, because the Lord's and has been and is still giving me words for people who donate physically by check or money order or whatever. Now, there was one period of time there at the end of the move in Princeton when my mind was so obsessed with moving, I couldn't receive words for about four or five people, but they've picked back up since I've gotten to Arkansas, and I'm getting words for donors again. And somebody in the comments of one of the words got really angry at me for saying this, or on YouTube, and said, oh, God only gives words to donors. That's not biblical. Well, I can't help when he gives me words for people. I have no control over that. I didn't ask him for the words when they started. I just take the words down when he gives them to me. So, and actually it is biblical, because in biblical times, if you went to the seer, you always took something to the seer. And when you gave them that, and I saw this happen in my own life when Beverly Wilhoit was my mentor, when I would take an offering to her, I would pray beforehand. And sometimes I would stop in the same town where I was going to visit her, and I would pray and say, Lord, you know what I'm going through on this? I need a word about such and such. And I saw one time her finger barely touched the check, and boom, that word started coming out. It was the coolest thing ever. And it was great for me because I knew I could hear from God that way. But at that time, I was going through a very emotional, intense trial with my daughter, actually, that concerned my mother. And I was too wrapped up in the emotions of it to be able to hear God clearly for myself. So I needed guidance to come through another person to help me with that. So back to what we were talking about. Something went wrong with the forwarding order, and at the beginning of time, after when I first left Princeton, the mail that came to my box there, the post office started sending it back to people. They started sending the stuff back. So I've already talked to two or three people who have gotten their check back in the mail. I would encourage you to put that in an envelope and readdress it and send it to me in Arkansas so you can, you know, still get blessed and everything, and hopefully get a word, because the words are still coming in. My address here, if you want to do that, is P.O. Box 75, Franklin, Arkansas, 72536. And I'll give it again at the end of the show. So here I am. I moved to Arkansas, and all of a sudden, the physical donations are not coming in. And, you know, I keep checking the box, and I've gotten some. But I know how many I usually get, and I said, Lord, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, I start hearing from people that they're getting their donations back. And so I knew that it was the devil trying to, you know, bankrupt me. But that's an example of the kind of stuff that's going on, just so y'all know what's going on. And so many days, I walk through this house, and I'm still unpacking boxes. This is a small house, and I moved from a place that had quite a bit of space to a place that doesn't have much space, and I'm trying to figure out where to put stuff and how to fit everything in. And I walked through the house, and all the problems hit me, and I just really just want to sit down and cry, honestly. But I'm trying to, you know, be positive and deal with it. But I'm just telling y'all what's going on here. So as much as I hope that things will get back to normal, it occurred to me that this could be our new normal. And when you have war and intense persecution coming, when things go that bad, how do we survive in that? How do we keep our faith up, and how do we survive in that? And maybe that's the reason the Lord let these things happen, so I would see that, you know, that's probably coming for a lot of us, if not all of us. So I started praying and I said, Lord, how do we survive in this kind of atmosphere, in this atmosphere when we are getting hit right and left with attack after attack after attack after it? I mean, it feels like you don't have one devil beating on you. It feels like you have 1,000 demons beating on you at the same time. And I said, how do we keep going when we are so exhausted from all this warfare? I became physically weak after I arrived in Arkansas. In fact, we were unloading the first U-Haul, and I was helping, and my friend said, go sit down, you need to rest. I said, no, let me do this, because more pairs of hands means we get it done faster and everybody else doesn't have to work as hard. So I kept unloading, and I would pick up a box and I would start to fall over because I was so exhausted. I would literally start to fall over because I'm used to pushing my body and making it keep going, even when my mind, you know, gave out days ago or hours ago. And I'm just used to pushing through. And I guess as you get older, you can't push through as much. I don't know. I just turned 57 this week, so I guess we'll find out. Okay, so what I got when I prayed that was pray, eat, and rest. And immediately I thought of Elijah, and I thought of Jesus. You know, because Elijah, right after the whole big showdown with Ahab and Jezebel, the Lord sent him to the brook Cherith. You know, Psalm 23 says, he'll lead me beside the still waters. Well, the Lord led Elijah out by a calm brook, and he sent him fast food deliveries through the ravens, and he just let him rest there for a while. And then he sent him to Zarephath. He had to make a 75-mile journey across the desert on foot, probably, unless he had a camel or whatever they rode back then, or a donkey or whatever they rode. But the Lord gave him a period of rest before that. And then I thought of Jesus and how Jesus used to go aside and pray in the quiet of the morning. He would go before daybreak. He would get up and he would go up into the mountain and pray. Or he would go aside at evening by himself and pray. But when you spend time alone with the Lord like that, and you sit in his presence, and you're not asking him for stuff, and you're not voicing all your worries, it strengthens your spirit. Or when you pray in the spirit, it strengthens your spirit. So praying and eating. He fed Elijah when Elijah was out there by the brook. The Lord fed him, and he let him rest. So God has told us again and again that what is coming will be terrifying. And I've wondered about, you know, of course, if we see war coming in our country, we're going to be afraid. I mean, that's a natural thing, to be afraid, because we don't know what's going to happen to us or the people we love. As I was driving on my move to Arkansas, which by itself was terrifying, y'all, I don't usually drive on interstates anymore. It is harder for me to drive now than it was before the stroke, and I usually don't even get on interstates, but I had to for this move. To make this move, I had to do that. And so I prayed a whole bunch before I did it, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to trust you that you're going to get me there in one piece, and everything's going to be all right, and he did. But as I was driving, I think I was somewhere around Little Rock, but I am not sure. It may have been a different area, but I was someplace inside Arkansas. And I wasn't, the traffic was real bad, and I was pulling a trailer, and so I didn't look around a lot while I was driving. But somewhere where it was a little bit slower, I glanced up, and there was a billboard, and it was, I think, a realtor ad on it, and there was a man's smiling face. And as I glanced at that just for a second, I had a vision. I had an open vision, and It's very common for me to have open visions while I'm doing other things. It's been that way for decades. Maybe because I'm seldom still unless I'm asleep. Anyway, in the vision, I saw this man's face, and his face contorted. And I knew, I saw in my spirit that he was possessed by demons. Not that the man in real life is possessed, but God was showing me something. The man was possessed by demons. His smile became very evil, and then his eyes rolled up in his head. And I thought, ooh, that's scary. And the Lord showed me in the vision that in the end times, one of the things we will see are people who are completely possessed like that in the streets, right out in public. I don't know if you've ever seen a person when the demons take over, but I've seen it many times, and it is terrifying, especially if you don't know what to do. Since I've learned a little about spiritual warfare now, I have a better idea, but many years ago, I knew nothing about any of that. And let me tell you, it'll scare the daylights out of you. You know all those Walking Dead shows and zombie shows? It's going to look a lot like that, but only in real life. I debated whether to share this vision with you. And I said, Lord, this is going to scare them. And he said, better to scare them now while they can still do something about it. And I said, okay, I'll tell them. You know, anytime God gives us a vision, he's showing us something for a reason. That vision was scary. It was, I can still see it in my mind. It was scary. And when you have a real vision, any of you other seers will know this, but if you're not a seer, those of us who are seers, when you see something and it's an actual vision, whether it's in a dream or an open vision, however you have it, it's imprinted. You never forget the details of it because it's real. And it's imprinted like in your spirit. You never forget it. And one of the reasons why seers are so serious, I mean, we're not the people who walk around joking around all the time because we see stuff and we can't ever forget what we've seen. We can't ever forget what we've seen that we know is coming. So that does make us very serious people. Your only defense against this sort of thing is knowing the Lord very intimately through daily prayer, through sitting in front of him, like I said, being quiet, because when you're quiet is when you can hear him. His voice is a very small voice. It's not, Satan will scream in your mind, but the Lord won't. The Lord's voice is more quiet than that. It's almost like a whisper. And unless you are quiet, you will not hear it. But knowing the Lord intimately through daily prayer, through his word, through learning as much as you can about spiritual warfare, because if you understand the spiritual realm, then when you encounter it in a person like that, you will at least understand what you're encountering and what authority you do or do not have in those cases, okay? The key to everything is knowing Jesus intimately. Jesus is the Word made flesh, so the Word is the same as Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The way we know him is by studying his Word, because it teaches us about his personality, what he likes, what he doesn't like, how he does things. Our God is a God of order. He has very specific ways of doing things, and you can find these patterns in the Word if you are paying attention, and if you read it every day. Listen to it every day. So one day I was doing a word study on a verse that I wanted to understand better. This was a few months ago, I think. And a word study, the way I do word studies is if I find a verse in the Bible and I want to understand it better, I get out my Strong's Concordance. A Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is the definitions in the original language to the words that we're reading in English in our Bible. Okay? He leads me beside still waters. Okay, maybe I take that word still and I think, okay, still to me means quiet and, you know, still. But maybe there wasn't an exact translation word from the original Hebrew when that was translated. So maybe I need to go look up the actual definition in the Strong's and see what that word actually meant. It might mean something a little different than what you think. And when you do word studies, you can get tremendous revelation. So that's how you do a word study. You take a scripture. This particular scripture, I don't remember what it was, but I was taking it all apart. I was taking it word by word, and I was looking up every single word in the scripture. I don't remember what I was looking for, but so there was, and I have a Strong's Concordance. I have a Jacinius, and then I have what's the other one called? Anyway, I have one that's a dictionary of just the words in the Old Testament, one's a dictionary of just the words in the New Testament in those languages, those definitions, and then I have the Strong's that has both. And as I was looking up the definitions for one of the words in the verse, the Lord spoke to me, and I wasn't even asking him anything. He spoke to me and he said, "This is what I like." And I said, "When I study your word like this, Lord?" And he said, "Yes." And that's all he said. And I was like, wow. If I became friends with somebody and they began researching everything they could find out about me, I would be so flattered. I wonder if that's a little bit of what he feels when we want to study and learn more about him. I don't know, but maybe it is. But he said, "This is what I like." There are so many dangers in what is coming in the judgments of the nations, y'all. We think of dying, of course we do, but dying for a true Christian is promotion to the heavenly realm. So that's not really where our concern should be. Let's talk a little bit about what God's told us is coming. Okay, he's told us faith tests. The biggest ones of all, unanswered prayers. He has told us more than once, you will pray prayers in that time that I cannot answer because all scripture has to be fulfilled. So what happens if you pray and it's a really important, Lord, please don't let my daughter die. She didn't have anything to eat. Please don't let her starve to death. And then she dies. Are you going to get mad at God and throw away your faith? Because your connection with him through your faith is the only hope you have in that time. But we have to remember that bad things are going to happen to us and the people we love as well as everyone else. He is going to be more merciful to us because we are his. And he's going to protect us from more because we are his. But that does not mean you will not see Christians die in what is coming. I asked him about that one time. I said, "Lord, are you just going to move all the Christians to a place where they're protected?" And he said, "No." He said, "The ones who it's their time to go, I'm not moving." And I said, "Oh, okay." And I was actually praying about the California megaquake at that time, because I knew some people out there that I was very concerned about that lived alone. But he said, "No, if it's their time, I'm not moving them." But I believe that if he takes a Christian in that kind of situation, that they won't feel what the wicked feel. For one thing, they won't have to be afraid. But another thing is, I think he will take them very quickly. It'll be like boom, and he'll just snatch them up, and they won't go through everything that other people will go through dying in something like that. I think that is the greatest mercy of all. Okay. So unanswered prayers are going to be a faith test, because you have to choose if God says no instead of yes to your prayer, if you're still going to believe in him. Okay, the testing of our flesh. Life as we know it will be changed forever in many, many ways, many of which I think we don't even comprehend yet or know yet. I think that we will have many chances to choose between what we believe and what our flesh wants, or what we need to sustain physical life. Example, when the mark comes out, if we are here. When the mark comes out, only those who take the mark will be able to buy and sell. So you won't be able to buy food if you don't have the mark. Okay? So you're standing there, you're looking at your family, you're looking at your beloved pets, and of course yourself, and they say, "Well, take the mark or you can't have any food." What do you do? Say, "Lord, I'm going to take the mark, but I don't mean it." He's not going to buy that. It says very clearly in scripture that if you take the mark, it's over for you. That's it. So taking the mark means you give up your soul in exchange for, you know, a bowl of soup, basically. Like Esau gave up his birthright for a bowl of stew. But you're giving up your eternity in heaven for food in that case. Standing on your faith instead of taking the mark, "No thanks, I'll stick with Jesus," means you may starve to death here, but your eternity is secure. And it also means that you're believing the Lord for provision, and he may feed you manna in that time. We don't know yet exactly how that's going to work out. Okay, we know that we're going to see things that are terrifying. After I saw that vision, I had a better idea of what he meant, because I wasn't really sure, you know, if he meant aliens were coming down, or, you know, we were going to see bombs coming in. I mean, I didn't know what he meant. It's not pretty when you look at somebody that's possessed. It looks like something out of the Exorcist movie. If you have not seen that, do not go watch it. It's really evil. And it's actually based on a true story. I used to watch scary movies before I was saved. But I've since seen some of those things in real life that I used to see in scary movies. I've since seen them in real life, and I know they actually exist. And I will tell you this. Much of what you will see in that time will match what you have seen in horror movies. I'm not sure where Hollywood gets its inspiration, but somebody's got some real information in there. So the thought of a horror movie coming to life around us is not a very comforting thought, is it? It doesn't comfort me. I'm not even sure how the human mind and body can survive that for very long, but I guess we'll find out. The Lord has said that we will see people that we love die right in front of us. If you've ever been at the bedside of someone you love when they died, you know it's something that never leaves you. But seeing them killed or watching them starve to death because of a famine or seeing them die in an earthquake, that's a different experience altogether, a very traumatic experience. That's the kind of experience that'll make a lot of people turn up under a bridge smoking crack, trying to forget. That's how a lot of people end up on drugs, trying to forget. There really is not anything that we can do about what is coming except to draw closer to the Lord, learn more of His Word, and let Him build our faith. Faith is always built the hard way. It's like building muscle in a gym. There's no easy way and there's no shortcut. It comes through persistent effort, showing up again and again and hanging in there while it's happening and walking through the pain. And repeating the exercises over and over. Faith is the same way. You have to hang in there and learn what He's showing you, and then you have to practice what you've learned. Don't worry, He'll give you lots of practice exercises. Before I close this, I want to give you all my new address again for any of you who don't know about the move or haven't seen the new address. And my last name is Lomax. It's not Linkus anymore. My address is P.O. Box 75, Franklin, Arkansas, 72536. In what's coming, we will be hated. We will be intensely persecuted, killed for what we believe, and even our own family members will turn us over to be killed. Get ready, saints. The end is upon us, and we need to be ready at all times. The final battle will be intense, but it will be short, because God said He would shorten it. See you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to hear Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407, or by email at Glenda Lomax at justpraisehim.today. Just Praise Him Radio is not affiliated with any church, denomination, or nonprofit organization. You don't have to look far to see. The world around us is constantly changing, often in very unexpected ways. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss. Is worse coming? What is coming to the world for the people of God in these last days? What does God want us doing while we're waiting for His reappearance? Now is the Time contains 217 prophetic messages from the throne room of God discussing what is coming to America and the world in these end times, along with instructions on what to do to prepare. The Lord God has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Wings of Prophecy, Now is the Time, the 2015 messages, available in print only through wingsofprophecy.com. Wings of Prophecy, Now is the Time. Have you ever been betrayed by someone you love deeply? If you have, then you know being betrayed by someone you love can be a life-altering experience. What you may not know is that every Christian must pass the test of absolute betrayal at least once in their Christian walk if they want to go higher. No test hurts more or pulls more strongly on your emotions than when someone you love completely turns against you. Do you know how to pass this test? Through a revelation received from the Lord, I share the good news about why betrayal visits Christians and how to pass this test once and for all. Don't let your betrayal catch you by surprise. Get the Judas Test on Amazon.com in print and Kindle versions. The Judas Test. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.